This is Erica Carson representing a large crew of folks, mostly at Boston University and University of Hawaii at Manoa. And wait, you're not Erica Carson.
I'm not Erica Carson.
This is the second time. This is not
Erica Carson.
Hello, Erica Carson. This is Erica Carson. And so you two are the two people represented here?
Yeah.
So,
well, actually, there's several others.
Okay. Large selection of folks.
Yeah.
And reading for you all is Catherine O'Connor at University of Hawaii at Manoa.
Actually, that's a mistake.
Because we just had this conversation.
I'm at Boston University.
The weather is not as good.
It's easy to confuse the two campuses.
Yes. So easy.
Speaking on... We want to say you're welcome. Case studies in early revitalization.
Okay, thank you so much. And I really want to thank the previous speaker, who I think is not here anymore, for a beautiful paper from a very different kind of setting. So this paper is about revitalization work in a setting in which the language is dormant and there are no living fluent speakers. So the Pomoan languages were spoken in Northern California. Up here, there were seven distinct languages and over 70 politically independent villages or bands. And Erica Carson is from the Redwood Valley Band of Northern Pomo. I want to express my gratitude to Edna Campbell Guerrero and Eleanor Stevenson Gonzalez, who I worked with for 25 years. They are the source of all this knowledge, and I really miss them. After their deaths, I had many sound files and field notes and published papers from over 25 years of this field work, and I had a desire to make these materials available to the people in the community of descendants, and there were expressions of interest, but there were lots of practical obstacles, and so many of you are familiar with these practical obstacles. So I'm going to give you an overview of what I'll say today, a little bit about prior efforts, very short case study about creating materials for Head Start, and then creating materials for youth, and then some ongoing issues. Okay, so what are those obstacles? Well, I'm going to call it inertness of the materials. So written grammars and dictionaries have no sound, as we know, and hundreds of hours of, in fact, over 1,000 hours of field recordings are very hard to access in a useful way. These are long conversations. How do you get into them? I see people nodding. You know this problem. Yep. And potential language users have many, many different types of interest in the language. And so we have to accommodate those, right? So that materials that seek to be useful in a language dormancy situation where there are no teachers who are fluent speakers face three challenges. So one of them is, how do people want to interact with the language? What are the vehicles? What are the ways that they will interact with that language when there is not a community of teachers? What do people want to say? What are the things that will start them into using the language or learning about the language? And how can we support eventually the learning of grammar? So the previous speaker was talking about the difficulty of conveying the switch reference system. Northern Pomo has a switch reference system too. We're not even close to that, okay? So, prior efforts. We began by making an app for phones, and I'm going to show you a very short video, about 1 minute, of an 18-month-old girl that was sent to me by a member of the community using the app, and you're going to hear her saying the word for bear, bida, bida, and hayu, dog, hayu, and then she says the word for fish, and it's repeated twice in the app, and then you'll see her at the end. You can just catch her kind of looking thoughtfully out and saying it a third time to herself, like, oh yeah, sha, I'm learning this word. All right, so I'm going to play you this video, if it will work. She sort of says it to herself, sha. Got it. But you need more than an app with 85 words, right? So our next project was a website with many different entry points, and actually at the last ICLDC we presented this. But it was still somewhat inert, right? How do you interact with it? A breakthrough was that we had sounds of the elders' voices in every section. So in the sections about how do you make the sounds of this language, in the talking dictionaries, so many entries would have two or more speakers of the language saying the same word. And people really responded to this. So Erica ran a session, a sort of focus group for 30 people at the Consolidated, 60 people at the Consolidated Tribal Health Project. And one elder from the Round Valley tribe, a different language, said, "That is so good. I'd love to have that for our language. It's hard to read wordless and know how they sound. I guess I can start learning this language." The keynote speaker, who was from the Mono tribe, said how hard it is for his tribe to learn the language because they have different word lists and they don't know how to say the words. So this is a really obvious obstacle, but it's a huge obstacle, right? So we've been dealing with this. But even with that, the materials can still be inert. There's sort of lots of single words in the talking dictionary. There's a few everyday expressions. We really need to ramp up that part. And there's lots of sentences from grammar elicitations that I did over those many years. And there's sentences like, "Three bears each ate two fish," right? These are useless. No one wants to say this, right? So, but you have a sound file of someone saying it. So we have to sort of get better ways to interact with the resources. So I'm going to tell you first about a little study or a little project that we're doing at Pinoleville at the Head Start. And it's about the vehicles. How do people want to interact with the language? And it started with a project that's not intended for Head Start. So tomorrow, we're going to do an electronic poster on this. It's called Situating Northern Pomo Language Learning Within a Community Museum. And I'm going to show you a picture of Erica's son, Yosha. And he's at this museum, and he is standing in front of a basket, and he's holding a cell phone, you can see. So what is he doing with his cell phone? He is scanning a QR code, which is right next to the basket. And so what you do in this is you scan the QR code with your cell phone, and when it reads the QR code, it takes you to a web page with a picture of that object and a little button. You click on the sound file link, and it says there's a recording of one of the elders saying this word, okay? So it's a way of engaging with the environment without an expert speaker there, but a way that's kind of engaging, okay? So there's another picture from a group that was visiting the museum. So last year, we held a meeting to present just the website to 25 Head Start teachers in Pinoleville. And as an afterthought at the end, we just said, "Oh, look at this QR code thing we're doing." We didn't think they'd be interested. But suddenly, a teacher got really interested in this and started talking to Erica, and they came up with this vehicle, this game that they sort of figured out how to do, which is, you have the kids scan a QR code, listen to the words in Northern Pomo, and find the matching picture. So you give them laminated cards with the QR codes, you give them laminated cards with the images, kind of randomly arrayed, and then you say, "Go to the QR code and scan that, and listen to what you see, and see what you see, and then go find the card." And so they said, the teacher said, "Oh, this will be a technology lesson," which they're supposed to be doing in Head Start. "And it's a matching game, so it'll really keep them occupied. They'll like this, right? And it's a Northern Pomo lesson." So we were shocked to find Head Start classrooms have QR code scanners, right? So they're loving it. Okay, so that is a story about a vehicle, right? A choice of unexpected, surprising kind of vehicle for language learning. The next is more complicated, and this is the one that's in the title. We want to say you're welcome. Okay, so this is addressing the question, what do people want to say, okay? So we were asking, how can we make the website materials more engaging? We were talking to Teddy McCullough, who's a member of the Coyote Valley tribe, and he said, "Well, young people want to be able to say certain kinds of things, like thank you, and you're welcome, and I love you, and I'm from Coyote Valley, and I'm sorry, and I forgive you, and let's talk." So we thought, okay, but I was thinking, uh-oh, this is going to be a problem. And I remembered asking Eleanor Stevenson Gonzalez, "How do you say thank you?" And her saying very kind of firmly, "We don't say that." And "we don't say that," okay? And so Edna said the same thing, and I thought, okay, check, you know, we don't say that. But wait, now, community members now have an expression for thank you that I get in emails and stuff, which is Yahweh. And I thought, what is that? You know, I don't know that. And so Erica and I tried to figure out where is it from, and we talked to Marianne Mathune and other people, and Erica talked with elders that she knew, and it turns out it came from Central Pomo, a completely different language, and now people have adopted it. And it may mean something like with the wind, but, you know, what does it refer to? We don't have time to kind of go into that. So this is kind of an example of the drama that you get in very early revitalization in dormant language situations. You have people saying, where did you get that? Is that authentic? We didn't say that. Who made that up? You're not saying that right. So Erica gets this a lot. Even though people don't have competence in the pronunciation of the language, they criticize other people for the way that they're saying things, right? Okay, so this is part of this complexity. And we said this, so this morning in Alice Taft's talk, she said a language is an agreement among a community of users that certain symbols have certain meanings. And so when you're in this situation with a language that is dormant, the question is, what is the community of users, right? So in my head, I hear Edna and Eleanor saying to me, we don't say that, but I'm not them, and the people in the community now want to say these things, right? So it's similar to this, to the conflict that the previous speaker was talking about. How do you decide? You know, there's this kind of drama that goes on. Okay, so now there is thank you in Northern Pomo, but there's still no you're welcome. So Erica and I were thinking about what do we do about this, and we were thinking about English. So in English, you say, if you say thank you to somebody, what do they say?
No problem.
No problem. They don't say you're welcome. They say no problem, right? So we thought, I mean, I haven't heard you're welcome in years, right? Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay,
I
no
say
problem.
Of course a lot.
What? Sorry.
I say of course a lot.
Of course. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Write that down. That's good. Of course. So should we construct a calc or a loan translation from English? No problem. Well, there is no word for problem in Northern Pomo, okay? So we can't do that. So how about constructing a general all-purpose expression that would be a loan translation from English that would make sense to people, like, it's all good, right? So sometimes people say that, oh, thank you, oh, it's all good, it's okay, right? Delay kedina, okay? You could say this. So we're going to test this one with a range of people. Now here's another one that people want to be able to say. I love you. And when I saw this, I thought, uh-oh. I remember the day I must have been like 24 years old and I asked Edna, you know, how do you say I love you? And she said, oh, we're not like you white people. We didn't say, oh, I love them. Oh, I love him. And I thought, okay, check. You know, don't ask that one again. So, but wait, there was an expression for something like I love you, which was to metoda, which means something like intense romantic love or lust, right? So you wouldn't say this to your children or your sister, okay? So this is a choice point. What do you do? Do we say, do we let the meaning of the phrase to metoda get bleached out and get used for children and relatives and things like that, okay? So like in English, where you could say, I love you, and it can mean, oh, I love you, or it could mean, oh, I love you, my child, right? So do we make it like English? And we thought about what do other languages do? Well, there's a case of Italian where you could, you say, te amo, which means a kind of lustful, I love you, but you would never say that to your children or your sisters or brothers or anything. You would say, ti voglio bene, I wish good for you, roughly, something like that. So is there a candidate in Northern Pomo? We were thinking about this. Is there some way to say this? So there is a phrase, keja, which means my person. And so you can say, you say this to mean this close connection, like he's my person, keja mona, or keja mana, you're my person. And so you can say that with a child or a friend, or you can say it with a lover, right? So it's sort of like the more like the Italian case. Okay, next consider, I'm sorry. In English, there are three kinds of sorry. The apology, sorry, I'm sorry I hurt you. The empathetic, sorry, I'm sorry you're sick, right? And then the pathetic, that's a sorry excuse for a, you know, verb paradigm or whatever. Okay, so Northern Pomo only has the pathetic sorry. And I found this note in one of my old field notebooks, and I thought, oh, sorry, but no, it was the pathetic. Okay, so this is the case about contents. Okay, what do people want to say? But now there's still the issue of the vehicle. Okay, so in Erica's largest focus group, again, after they saw the website, everybody said, we want flashcards. And I was like, okay, flashcards, that's interesting. Now, flashcards are a good vehicle if they can have sound files attached, right? Otherwise, they're kind of useless. And if they're free, right? So we found a site online, brainscape.com, and we created these flashcards. And they're pretty good, but they have problems. So I'll just say in 5 seconds, we're going to try to be making an open source flashcard program in the next year. So come back and hear if we do. But then we realized, well, okay, these flashcards are nice, but how do you learn from flashcards? Don't you need a lesson first? You got to have the lesson. What are you learning about? Okay, and what should those lessons be about? So we need more than just these phrases. So the next step was we created lessons with flashcards, okay? So you could go to the lesson and then you can go to the flashcards. But what are the lessons about? So we built on what Teddy had told us people wanted to say, and we're kind of using an adaptation of task-based language learning in the context of a dormant language. And so what that means is there's a task here that we have identified, and that is I want to connect with people. I want to reach out to people. And this sort of ties in with the theme of the conference, that there are many, many people who have relatives and friends who are suffering, who are having trouble. And you want to be able to reach out and say something to them that will make them feel connected. Okay, so we could call it relational talk, whatever. So here's what the lessons are. Here's what a lesson looks like. You get the English, you get the Northern Pomo, you hear a sound file, and then you go on and this lesson has call me, or call us, or call him, right? This is what you say to people who are having a hard time and you're trying to reach out to them. Call her, call them, okay? And then if you click on the flashcard link, it takes you to the flashcards. The second lesson, how are you? That's something everybody wants to say, but how is he? That's something you want to say. Let's say your friend has a son who's having problems and you want to say, how is he doing, right? You reach out, how is she? How are they? These are very simple lessons, but they're constructed with a sort of a goal. I'm good. I'm not good. I'm not bad. I feel terrible. I'm tired. Okay, so when you know how to say these, the next step would be, how do you say, he's not good, or he's good, right? And you're talking about that family member. Okay, let's talk. Let's go. Let's say you go to a party and it's not going well, and you want to go up to your person and say, let's go, right? Let's eat. You're hungry. You're angry. Let's eat, right? Let's walk around. Let's sleep. I'll call you. These are the promises, okay? I'll call you. We'll call you. She'll call you. He'll call you. They'll call you. Okay, so that gets to this issue of what do people want to say? What's an engaging thing that would be good for the community that you would know how to say? But the last 2 minutes are going to be about this issue of what about the language? What about learning more about the language? And this is not like the situation in Chickasaw. So we're getting these lessons in which the teacher and the learner have a chance to notice aspects of structure. It's not the main point. And they're integrated with the contents and that vehicle that people like. So here we have for Call Me, we have helping talk, and we have flashcards. But we also have the imperative, and we have the accusative case of pronouns. And I could say more about why we chose those. The next lesson has a WH question and nominative case for the pronouns. Okay, in this language, the case is kind of really difficult, so you got to start with it. I'm okay, I'm not okay, you have the copula and certain adjectives, basic important adjectives, and you have negation. I should have put negation in there. In let's talk, you have the what you might call the letsative, you know, let's do this, let's do that, and some verbs. And in we'll call you, you have future tense and nominative case pronouns again. Okay, so I'm going to say some really, really obvious things here. The work of revitalization for a dormant language is complex. Where have you heard that before? And the design of the materials is not the same as task-based language teaching, which is primarily in the literature focused on ESL, right? And so the people's reasons for learning English are very, very different than their reasons for learning their ancestral language. Mapping the dormant language to English expressions is complex and may be drama-filled, but we need collaboration. I mean, that's, again, how much more obvious could we be than to say that, but it is true. So, Yahweh. Thank you. Gee, that was only 19 minutes and 20 seconds.
She was fast. Right on.
Okay, questions? So, Edwin, how about those open source flashcards?
Yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
Most of the words you said in the last 20 minutes, they are Latin or Greek, or maybe.
Could have been, yes.
Yes.
That's right, that's yes. Right. Exactly.
So
languages change.
Doesn't all languages have the right to do this?
Yes, they do.
For example, I work with a Google Emitir.
Uh-huh. Mm.
In an area unfortunately occupied by the Englishman, Australia. And what they do is simply that they add to every intransitive verb, they add an existing formative.
Uh-huh.
To every transitive verb, they add another formative. So, for example, to work is a workmanaya.
Uh-huh.
So they say, for example, they would say, "Ngantan iwe gatte workmanati nu," which is a purposive form. So before, since
I work in order to something.
No, I came here to work.
Oh, I came here to work.
Workmanati nu. So any English word or any Latin word, in fact, any word from any language
has a history.
Neatly fits into the language because
all
the inflection works. And they would say, download it, Purana.
Yes, right. We were talking about how do you say, text me?
Yes.
Right? And so we're working on how do you say text me? Because that's really important to say. And we're still kind of arguing about that. What would be the best way? And of course, we could just say, though textin, you know, right? So there's always that stream of new things any language has to refer to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Google something. But these emotional words, and so I take your point is that, of course, every language has the capacity to expand and change and bring in new things. And so, for example, the Northern Pomo word for telephone is habejano, which means rock talk, right? So this was a hard plastic substance like a rock, and you talk on it. Habejano is your phone. But when it's something like that has a stance, a cultural stance, like we don't say that. You know,
yes.
And in my head, right, I got that message from them. They're not here now, right? But I remember them and I love them. And so I'm in this funny place and I'm trying to say, no, other people have to decide this. Here are some options that, because there are also people in the community who say, oh, this is all made up. This isn't how it was. So we're talking with them too, right? I guess I'm not taking a stand on what is the correct approach. I know there are people who I know who might say, you can't add all these new things. And there are other people who say, of course you can, you know, it's a language, it's changing, right? So I'm sort of more trying to point to the complexity of it and the interpersonal complexity and the work that someone who, you know, did the field work is obligated to do to try to satisfy those conflicting goals. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Do you have any advice?
No, it's just a possibility that if people agree that this wasn't a concept that we had, that you just use the English word
with an inflection,
With a formative that makes it possible to inflect it.
That's right.
Because just
use the POMO inflection on an English base.
Yes.
So there are a lot of English loan words and Spanish loan words that are already in the language and certainly doable. That's another possibility. So we didn't have time in this talk to kind of go through every possible form of adding to a language, you know, the borrowing, the calcs, the this, the that. But yes, I agree. You can just put it in there. Erica.
And we were even, when I was working on the Head Start, was borrowing words from different dialects.
Uh-huh.
To be able to say thank you for the food. So Jeffrey and Ma'a.
Yeah.
Thank you for the food, and that word. Emmett came from Eastern Pomo, so we were able to borrow a different dialect's word to be able to say what we needed to say in prayer for the food, give thanks for the food.
But I remember you telling me that you got critiqued for that.
I did get critiqued for it, but they also gave me the okay.
Yeah.
And but you take that in though, and you take their criticism and you have respect for it, and then they see you as. Mm-hmm. Well, at least you're speaking the language.
Right. At least you're trying. That's what, you know, they say. At least you're trying.
And I can say it, so.
Yeah.
I know, especially in a lot of native California languages, when they're in this critical condition, tribes can be very protective of their languages.
Yeah.
So are these, I'm just curious, if these are, like, public or are they private?
They're public, and I have something that I want to point out about that, because when we first made this website, the question was, so there are five Northern Pomo bands, tribal councils, and do you go to each one? And so I went to the tribal historic preservation officer for each one and said, here's what we're doing. And no one said, oh, you know, you have to make this private. And actually, some people said, and I thought this was very wise, they said, right now, in Northern California and in other places as well, there's a huge problem with people being disenrolled for all kinds of personal reasons that have nothing to do with anything, right? And so somebody said to me, if you made it something that was the proprietary object of a tribe and the people who were disenrolled illegitimately couldn't get access, that would be wrong, right? And so this is a very complicated issue, but we took this stance of saying, this is open source.
Yeah.
And the families of the people said yes, you know, and I have something written, actually. Of course, the internet did not exist when Nicamo Guerrero was alive, and maybe she would be horrified, but I don't think so, because she put a lot of effort into this. Yeah, others, yeah.
Whose are the voices that you listen to with
when you hear this? Yes. So here is, I was going to say this. So some of them are, if we have that sentence with one of the original speakers, we put that in. Otherwise, it's this old white lady linguist who spent many years with them, and that's all we got, right?
Can't you make them say the word?
Make who?
The people that are learning.
Nobody has learned it yet. This is just starting.
Just
yeah. When that happens, that'd be great. And they'll be open source, you know, flashcards, so people can add all kinds of sound files to them if they want. You have to pay $3 a month or something to add stuff to the flashcards. But they're not closed, right? If you want to use them as they are, it's free.
But
yeah.
Also, the people in the community were actually really thankful, and they actually don't mind hearing her voice.
No, I
you know,
I believe
it's cool,
it.
Because
yeah.
People, when they hear the elders speak, they get that, like, thankful feeling side where they feel good, you know, because, oh, that's my grandma's voice, or that was my Auntie Annie, or, you know, and then they feel really good, but they actually didn't actually hear a difference when her sound file came up.
They didn't hear a difference?
I mean, they didn't.
You mean they didn't go,
they didn't
oh,
mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were just like, well, someone's saying it, you know, because
yeah.
It's, you know, you have a piece of paper and they don't know what a piece of paper says. So.
Yeah, so the value of hearing it is greater than the value, than the unvalue of hearing me say it.
Right.
Put it that way.
We love her for it.
Any other questions? Are we almost done?
We have about a minute.
Minute? Okay.
One more quick.
Yeah.
You know how you said the word for I love you?
Uh-huh.
In my language, it's not I love you. It doesn't translate to I love you. It's you are my pain.
You are my pain.
That's deep.
And isn't something that you can say to, say, your children? Ah, so you are my pain. And so that word pain, what kind of pain is it? Do you know?
Well, how when you love somebody, you break your heart. You
yeah.
know what I mean? It's that close.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't say I love you unless it hurts.
Unless you,
so,
yeah.
So you are my pain.
You are my pain. We could put that one in there. What language? What is your language?
Mutoma.
Say again?
Nuchalna. That's on West Coast Street.
Ah, okay. We will put that in our list of possible. Yeah, you are my pain. It could be, yeah. That's very deep. Thank you. Okay, thank you very much.